What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton for another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. And as everybody knows, unless you've been hiding under a rock, it's that time of year. It's my favorite time of the year, personally. It's March Madness. March Madness has been here, but no, it's the official big dance. You know, conference tournaments are great. We get those upsets there. But, you know, March Madness is here. Like I said, man, the big dance, you know, Field of 64. You know, it's where all the upsets are occurring, new stars are made, and schools that we've never heard of or upset teams that we've watched our whole lives. So, you know, I'm excited about this tournament. You know, there's really no clear-cut favorite if you look at everything. It's a wide-open field for the first time in a long time. You know, usually, you know, teams come into the tournament and, you know, they may have a clear-cut favorite for the season. Like, you know, you look at 90 UNLV, you may have Duke in 91 and 92, you know, Duke in 01, things like that. You know, certain teams like Michigan State when they won it in early 2000s. So it's about that time right now. You know, we're about to jump into it. And just wanted to go over a few things as far as the tournament goes and where I stand with it. You know, as far as the favorites, I think that the favorites will go out there and win it. I got UVA, Nova, Arizona, Michigan State. And I know the UVA-Arizona thing, you know, they kind of clash if everything holds up in the Sweet 16. And so I look at that as like those are two teams who could definitely win in Arizona. You know, they've been misseeded. I think UVA got a road deal as far as their bracket goes. The number one overall seed should have the easiest road to get there. That's just my humble opinion. We got certain teams to look out for. Obviously, you got Kentucky. You know, even though they haven't had a Kentucky-like season, we remember a couple years ago when they had Julius Randle and those boys, and they kind of made it all the way down, and they had a deep run in the tournament. You know, they just click at the right time. You know, they won the SEC championship again. Close game against Tennessee. Obviously, they battle hard, battle back and forth. But we all know what happens. The John Calipari team is never out of it, so you can never really count them out per se. So I look at that as Kentucky. You know, Tennessee, don't sleep. You know, Rick Barnes has got those boys ready and rolling. You know, they got a few key pieces, you know, and they don't really have what you call like a loaded squad per se. Everybody just plays really well together. They should have won an SEC championship. It was back and forth. You know, they kind of let a few plays get away from them. But they played Kentucky down through the, you know, to the wire. You know, it was 2-0. Of course, you got to go with Duke. I mean, even though Duke kind of started to unravel a little bit towards the end of the season. Not unravel per se, but they lost a lot of games that they should have won. You know, Marvin Bagley, you know, he played big. Wendell Carter played big. You know, all the freshmen played big. Duvall, Gary Trent, you know, Grayson Allen, you know, guys off the bench, they all came and contributed. And, you know, they lost. They played horrible against the UNC and the ACC semifinals. But Duke's one of those teams where, you know, they get clicking at the right time. They can make it work. You know, they got a pretty good path as far as getting to the tournament. I'm not going to sit there and look at them and say, oh, they're not going to make it. They can't make it because of X, Y, and Z. I've got a good feeling about them. Like, they, you know, they can make a run. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this is that. It's clear cut. Nobody's clear cut right now, you know. But as I look at everything, I just sit there and say, hey, you know, you never know what can happen. And we also have Auburn. Auburn's a sneaky team. They could have done a little bit more than what they actually did do. And I wouldn't really count them out too much. So I really wouldn't sit there and give up on them. Bruce Pearl's got those boys balling. He's kind of had a rough time, rough go in the SEC tournament. But, you know, the Alabama, you know, Alabama-Auburn rivalry, it rises to new heights no matter if it's basketball or football or whatever. So, you know, expect them to make a deep run. I mean, not a deep run per se, but I expect them to do some kind of damage because I can see them getting past. I can see them getting to the Sweet 16, and I see when they play Kansas. Now, Kansas is good, but I don't know if Kansas has the depth. You know, with Billy Preston leaving and going pro and never getting cleared by the NCAA, you know, that puts a different dynamic on their team. Had he been playing, you sit there and say, well, they're at another level. You know, I think Kansas would be a whole lot better than they actually are. And they're a really good team right now. So they got some pretty good weapons. And, you know, Bill Self always has his troops ready to rock and roll. Standout players, I would say, as far as the tournament goes, the guys that you normally know, I might say DeAndre Ayton. I mean, he's pretty much, I mean, we all know what he is, man. He's like, he's really, really good. He's like the new unicorn, you want to call it. They were talking about him the other day. You know, just talking about what he does. He does everything big. I mean, he played huge in the conference tournament. You know, on the shoulders of all these NCAA and FBI investigations and things of that nature. So being able to play with all that pressure on your back, it kind of bodes well. You say, wow, this kid has a lot of poise. He's really good. Kid puts up monster numbers, you know, finalist for the Mason Player of the Year Award, which I think he'll probably win. It's either between him or, you know, Jalen Brunson, you know, playing big in the Pac-12 tournament. I mean, the kids are walking double-double. And I expect big things out of him. Michael Porter Jr., I'm expecting something from him. You know, it's his tournament time. It's time for him to raise his stock. He's a top 7 pick in the draft. Would have been probably top 2 or 3 had he not got hurt and, you know, had he been playing all year. But the kid showed enough and through high school and, you know, scouts know what he's about. Athletic, springy, can shoot. He's a good player. Had 12 in his first game back and kind of really wasn't in the rhythm. But now that he's back, sure he's had a few days on the practice. You know, his legs are probably under him a little bit more. So I'm expecting him to make a little bit of noise maybe. They've got a pretty good matchup their first round. So I think he can go out there. They play Florida State. I think he can get out there and get off and do a little bit for the scouts. Then we got Colin Sexton. We all know what he's about. You know, he had a pretty good SEC tournament. You know, he's more than likely going to be done in Alabama after this year. But we'll see what he's made of. He can kind of make a deep run in this. They can possibly make a deep run. I'm not expecting it, but I expect him to play really big. You know, there's a time. You know, you play one or two games. That's all the scouts really need to see is and cope with your conference tournament to be good. So I got him. I got, you know, like I said, I got Aiton. I got Porter. I got Sexton. I got Marvin Bagley. We all know what he can do. I got Wendell Carter. Then we got Kevin Knox from Kentucky as well. Another freshman, possibly, you know, obviously another one and done player over at Kentucky. So I expect him to really be, you know, really step up big. And again, Kentucky, they got a nice second round matchup. They're going to play in Arizona. So that's going to be really good. Barring Kentucky gets past Davidson, which I think they should, that Kentucky-Arizona matchup is going to be well. We'll see how those freshmen in Kentucky step up. You know, you got Hami Diallo. You know, he had a pretty good, you know, he had a decent season, but it wasn't with the expectations that we all thought he would have. So hopefully he can step up in this tournament and kind of make his presence felt. Because people were thinking that, hey, he was going to be one and done, but we don't really know about that right now. As far as my Final Four selections, again, I could be wrong, but again, oh, hey, look, just don't charge it to my heart. You know, just me selecting off the top of the head. I got Duke, I got UVA, I got Villanova, and I got UNC, right? I just think that they can come out their respective brackets. I think Duke's one hurdle is going to have to be Michigan State because that'll be a tough game. For some reason, I don't know if Kansas is going to get that far. I see a slip-up happening with the Auburn game if Auburn can get that far. You know, Clemson's another team you really shouldn't sleep on. If they're clicking, they click, you know, if they're right and they have everything going on all cylinders, I think they can definitely make a good run. National championship, it was hard because this one, you know, was a little thought out. But I got Villanova and I got Villanova winning it all. I got Nova and UVA in the final, and I think it's going to be a real close knockdown, drag-out game. I got Nova winning another one. I think they got a great team. I think Jalen Brunson's just like the great leader that they need, and he stepped up. He's more mature. I think Jay Wright, he's doing what he needs to do. I think everybody's ready. Everything's clicking now. And it's time for them to get off and just go and go make that run. They've got a nice little bracket. I'm not saying they're going to run through everything, but I don't really see them getting really caught up in anything until the regionals. You know, I would say don't look past Alabama, Virginia Tech if it happens, especially Alabama, if they can get past Virginia Tech. But I do think they don't really have too bad of a draw. The Purdue thing would be a little shaky, but they can make it happen. You know, we had the first fours playing yesterday. So we obviously we know Radford, they defeated LIU, St. Bonaventure defeated UCLA, Texas Southern defeated NC Central, and Syracuse defeated Arizona State. So those are the first fours that played and earned their selection. You know, everybody else, you know, Arizona State and Syracuse played for an 11th seed, and everyone else played for the 16th seed. But St. Bonnie's and UCLA, I'm sorry, they played for an 11th seed as well. But yeah, it was pretty good games. You know, for me, another thing I want to send a shout out to NC Central Coach Lavelle Moe, and he's a pretty good coach, man. I just hate the way they did it, where two HBCUs had to play each other for the playing game. It's like, come on, man, let them rock, let them have their time. They could have been seated separately, you know, and Lavelle Moe had a really good team over at NC Central. He's not up and coming, but he's been coaching for a while. His alma mater, they're back in the tournament for the third time in 5 years. So I think he's going to probably be one of those coaching prospects that you think about and say, oh, he may make some noise and he may be able to going to a bigger program. I know it may be tough to leave the place you call home, but it's what it's about, you know, growing and going upward and making the most of it. So, you know, as far as that goes, that's just kind of my thought process on everything with that. But while we're in college basketball, let's move over to coaching for a little bit because, you know, we know the tournament's going to be one thing. The tournament's going to be a separate entity. It's going to be its own thing. But right now, we got a lot of openings right now, you know, and we got the Louisville thing. You know, I'm sure everybody who's been listening, there's been a lot of rumors going around about Chris Mack possibly going ahead and jumping at the Louisville job when it opens up. A lot of people have been saying, like, yeah, we think he's going to get the job. It's kind of like the worst secret in college basketball right now. It's unfortunate because Padgett, he kind of held those guys down a little bit this year. They made a decent run considering the circumstances that they had to deal with because most people don't want to step in behind Rick Pitino and they don't want to deal with that kind of a mess. And he handled it with grace and, you know, he handled it with class and they made the most of what they can do. I watched them at the ACC tournament. You know, they play hard. I mean, they played hard for him. I mean, let's say if he would have been able to play and he would have had Ryan Bowen there, I think, you know, you look at what they did, I think he would have been able to win maybe 4 to 5 more games. He's got 25 wins under his belt. But apparently, that's the word. Chris Mack is probably like the worst kept secret. So depending on how far Xavier advances, you know, as long as it's going to be held out. But he's supposedly the next coach up there. You know, we got Pitt. I'm hearing Pitt is talking to Tom Crean. I've also heard Pitt was interested in looking at Danny Hurley, which I think would work perfect because Danny Hurley knows the East Coast. You know, he coaches up this way and he makes it happen and he can make it happen. You know, I just think Kevin Stallings just really wasn't the right fit at all. He was a Vanderbilt guy. I mean, he kind of was in over his head with it. I mean, the team's never really reciprocated or just responded to anything he did. So that was just my personal opinion on that matter. But now we also have the big, you know, the big elephant in the room. You know, Memphis has let Tubby Smith go. And anybody who's been on social media, listening to Twitter, you know, reading stuff on Twitter, ESPN, and so forth, you kind of know what Memphis wants to do. They want to go back to their favorite son, you know, probably one of the greatest players, if not the greatest player in the history of the program, Anthony Penny Hardaway. A lot of questions. We know it's a lot of challenges, you know, but Penny's been out there killing he's been killing the high school circuit. He's got two straight state championships. They just won a game the other day against Blackman in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. These boys are really good. They're nationally ranked. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. People kind of frown, oh, it's high school basketball. I get it, you know. He's a lot of homegrown kids. You know, you're not an Oak Hill, and you're not a Mount Vernon, but these kids coming from all over the country. You got a lot of local kids, and you kind of raise them up. You put them under your arm, and you put them under your wing, and you say, hey, we're going to work this out and make this work together. You know, Penny went from middle school. He has the EYBL team. You know, it's pretty awesome how he's doing it, how he's making it work. He's got a lot of kids in the community playing with him. A lot of people want to know how successful will he be. You know, I read an article on Yahoo last night, just totally discrediting the man and disrespecting him. And, oh, you know, it's a big mistake. And it's kind of like, damn, let it happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, let it happen. Let him go. You know, oh, he doesn't have any major college experience. Well, hell, Jason Kidd went from playing to coaching, being a head coach. Like, cut him some slack. Like, I just think people have this preconceived notion, like, oh, he's going to suck. He's going to stink. He's this, he's that. Like, look, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Who cares? You know? Chris Mullin hasn't had any experience, but hey, Chris Mullin, coach, he's recruiting right. He's got some decent people on his bench, and they're going to be better. You know, it takes time. Everybody wants things to happen immediately where you'll be successful. We're in a microwave society. So every time something doesn't happen when you want it to happen, it's like, oh, shit, this is that. It bothers me a lot that people think that way. But, you know, people want to know how successful he'll be. I think he'll actually be successful. You know, he's a guy that can resonate to his players. I think he's a guy that's in. He's down for it. I mean, he knows what the AAU circuit is like, so it's not like he's going in blindfolded. He knows what it's like. Look, if you're going to be the figurehead, then so be it. You let him be the figurehead. Apparently, he's trying to hire Larry Brown as his new head top assistant, with a Yahoo article was saying, oh, yeah, Larry Brown will actually do the coaching. Like, listen, sure, Penny's an X and O's guy, but you can never learn too much. Having Larry Brown is invaluable. You can't go wrong with a guy like that. He's a legend, one of the greatest coaches to ever coach the game. He's a local hero. We great for the, you know, great for the community. You know, we know what he was on a basketball court. You know, can he turn the program around? You know, can he get them right? You know, it's a tough challenge, but is he up for the challenge? You know, he has to go in there with the mindset of knowing, like, look, you know, his best days are ahead of him. You know, with Tubby Smith, they're not getting the Tubby Smith, that Kentucky guy. You know, the guy that won a national championship his first year. And from 98 to 05, you know, he had top seeds, you know, one, two, or three seeds. They guys in the SEC championship, they've been running every year. That's not the same Tubby Smith they got. They got a 60-something-year-old coach. It's a little different. It's a different culture. You know, he's a guy that went on the record and saying kids are transferring too much and doing this and doing that. So you kind of understand what he, you know, he's an old school guy. He's not really going to conform and trade, you know, and change his ways to conform to the new style of play. Some people, look, it happens. You know, a lot of these guys are, a guy like Tubby Smith, he's going to be coaching kids that are going to be playing for 3 and 4 years. He's not going to get a lot of one and guns. This is not his style. He wants guys that he can teach, he can coach, and great, more power to him. You know, some people see it as a mistake. Memphis pulled the trigger. You know, he's owed a buyout, apparently $9 million, some change. They won't let him go. Who knows? We don't really know what their reason is for. Maybe they want to bring Penny in. You know, maybe it's something we don't know. But I mean, I think it'd be a great addition for the school. I think, you know, a lot of times you get these people in there, man, you get a breath of fresh air in there. And he's a great, look, again, the younger generation still knows him. You know, he's got this, you know, popular Nike line. Everybody knows him. I mean, people my age, you know, people in their 30s and up, we remember him in his prime. We remember that Penny Hardaway, who was everybody's idol and everybody had his poster on the wall. However, it's a new time. But these kids know, hey, I'm standing online for these phones, these new pennies or whatever. They know what it is. So, I mean, hopefully it works out. I think it can work out. Looking really good. I think I'm excited for the tournament, like I said. It's going to be really exciting. It's going to be one of the better tournaments. I got a good feeling about it. Teams are right. Teams are set. And, you know, as I'm recording this, you know, teams are getting ready to get after it, man. So hopefully we get that excitement that we've been seeing years before. We see some new stars. We see some new teams make some noise. And we'll go from there. Be right back with you after this quick break. Welcome back, everybody. While we're on the topic of basketball, let's just slide over from college to the NBA. You know, I'm going to talk about Russell Westbrook. He just accomplished something yesterday. Or the other day, I should say, that was pretty impressive. You know, he notches 100 career triple-double. And when you look at that, you say, man, like, that's a hell of a lot. You know, most people don't really have that. Most people don't really have that as far as, let me, you know, they did 100 triple doubles in the career. Most people barely get 10. Most people don't come close. You know, this guy, he did something that I thought I'd never see in my life. You know, growing up when you're watching sports, there's always certain records in which you know it may not ever happen. You know, the home run record was something as a kid I never thought would happen. Like, nobody's ever going to break that Roger Maris record. And then, you know, it got broke a couple times. You know what I'm saying? And then now it's common for guys to hit in the 60s as far as your home runs go. You know, we know Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak is probably never going to be accomplished or whatever. That's just a part of it. That's just what we think. You know, in basketball, you know, you knew Wilt's 100-point game won't ever happen. You know, Kobe's 81 is my generation's, like, version of Wilt's 100. You know, 50 rebounds in a game. Then there's also, like, somebody averaging a triple-double in the season. I thought I'd never see that. You know, some people had their streaks, but they may have averaged a triple-double over the course of 10 games, but for a season, it's pretty impressive. And he had a whole, you know, he averaged a triple-double last season, as we know. He also, you know, knocked his first MVP award, carried his team on his back, I mean, and did everything he could possibly do. Because obviously, when you lose somebody like Kevin Durant, that's a lot to come back from, you know, so we get it. But man, it's incredible. You know, he's fourth all time. He's fourth all time behind Oscar Magic and Jason Kidd. You know, Jason Kidd will probably be the next person on a ladder that he catches, because Jason Kidd's like only seven ahead of him. And it's just still like to see what he's done, to do whatever he's been able to do. It's really, really, really highly impressive, right? But the thing about this is that, you know, Russell's a guy that's extremely loyal. We know what he is and what he brings to the table and how he is. And, you know how he acted towards Kevin Durant. And, you know, I'm sure they've squashed their beef. That's irrelevant, though, you know, but he's just a fiery guy. You know, he's very intense. And a lot of people have been talking yesterday, watching these shows, First Take and so forth. They're like, well, should he be in a bigger market? And it's kind of like, well, what would it be? What would it mean for him to be in a bigger market, you know, outside of OKC? It's kind of like, is he going to finish his career there? You think about it. It's like, well, will he be there? You know, should he stay there? It's kind of like, how can you convince someone to stay there? You know, because for me, I'm looking at it like, he's going to be all alone again after this season. Because I see Paul George going home no matter what he says. Everybody says the right thing at the right time. You know, it's like, should he stay? Should he go? I mean, that's something that you want to throw out there a little bit, you know, but that doesn't take away from what he's been doing. I mean, I look at him and I like to say certain guys, they've had situations where it's like, when I get to that point, I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'm going to bust my tail and I'm going to make it happen. You know, Russ seems to be that kid that was like, you know, he wasn't a heralded coming out of high school. He got the last scholarship at UCLA he had to offer. Ended up going and playing on the team with Kevin Love, who was the star recruit that year. And, you know, Westbrook was like his sidekick. You know, Pac-10 at the time, defensive player of the year, played all out and just kind of worked his tail off. And he ended up declaring early for the draft. And now look at him. He worked hard. Kept pushing. And I guess just knowing that you were that kid that nobody wanted at one time, you're now like the guy, you know, and just to see it, man, he had twice as many triple doubles as any other franchise, you know, since he's been in the league. You know, the second man ever to average a triple double in the season. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing what he's doing, but it's just like, you don't take away from the fact, like, what is that going to translate into a championship for him? And I hate to be a Debbie Downer, but it's like, you definitely got to give him his props, you know, and I'm just following suit from what I read or what I saw yesterday on First Take, and that made me think, like, damn, is he going to be there? You know, it's hard to walk away from the kind of money that they offered him, but it's like, well, are you going to be overly loyal like KG? And it's like, yeah, I'm putting up for my city, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. And looking back on it, you know, you don't want to sit there and say, I deprived myself of winning a championship. You know, Kevin Garnett will be the first to tell you. I'm not going to, I wish I didn't waste as much time. Could you imagine Kevin Garnett in Boston in his 20s? Kind of scary thought to think about, but, you know, salute to Russell Westbrook, man. An amazing thing, an amazing accomplishment. You know, just the fact that he's able to do something that we never thought we'd be able to see, you know, racking up these triple doubles. And I know Oscar Robertson's a little ways away, but who's to say if Russ stays in OKC, he won't average another triple double for a season again? You know, that could, you know, that's putting you at, you know, at least 40, between 40 and 45 for the season. You know, then you're kind of close to the Oscar then. You know, he has a ton of help now, so he doesn't have to do everything. But let's say if he's in that situation again, I mean, he can carry a team to 50 wins by himself. You know, we see what he can do by himself when he's the leading man. So even though it seems like, you know, 81 is real far along, I think he can really catch Oscar if it's something that he's in a position to do. You know, but definitely want to send love, shout him out. It's a big thing. It's a huge thing. And, you know, we'll wait and see around what happens. Let's continue on with more NBA basketball while we're sitting there on the discussion. What's up with the Warriors? I mean, I know... they're fine. The Warriors are still looking like they're in the driver's seat, maybe possibly to come out the West. But, you know, you're looking at it now, you know, they're 52-16. So obviously I'm probably over-exaggerating about what's going on with the Warriors. It's not like the Warriors are, you know, like they got a 40-29 record and everybody's going crazy. But they got a lot of injuries, right? So, you know, the injury bugs hit them. You know, Klay Thompson right now, he's out for 2 weeks with a fractured right thumb. Steph's out another week with his injured ankle. You know, Draymond Green's out with his shoulder. David West is out with his arm. Iguodala's out with his wrist. Jordan Bell's out. So now the question starts to arise. And of course, you know, me just trying to be somebody that's just trying to follow the sport and keep the sport going as well. You know, you start to think, like, what's going on? What's happening? Is this the year that they really get the throne? But, I mean, I know basketball better than that. I'm looking at the standings now. You know, Houston's only got them by a game and a half. You know, Houston is 53-14. Golden State, 52-16. It's pretty damn close. I mean, they're pretty much running away with the West. But it's like, is it going to be a situation where it's like Houston is going to seize this opportunity, seize this moment? Because who knows what happens? It's KD. You know, it's KD surrounded by, you know, he's got a decent supporting cast, but it's not the main key component. You know, you're missing a Draymond, who's the glue to that team, obviously. Then you're missing a Klay, who's arguably the second greatest shooter in NBA history. And then you're missing the greatest shooter in NBA history, Steph Curry. It kind of makes you go, damn, like, what's up? What's really going on? You know what I'm saying? So right now, the question I have with that, does Houston take advantage of this time right now? You know, is Houston going to take advantage and will they extend it? They lead. It's a game and a half now. You know, when they hold up, you know, with all these injuries in place and kind of go off on it. Because, you know, James Harden more than likely is the MVP and he's at a pace. He's at a crazy pace right now. But we all know how Houston goes. You know, they have great regular seasons in the playoffs. They kind of falter, you know. But I think right now they're going to do something. Now is the time to go ahead and get it and get home court, you know. I don't know what's going to happen when they're involved in a seven-game series. You know, just with the Warriors, though, just a little concerned, like, with all these injuries. Are they going to break down in the playoffs? You know, we know this is David West's last run. You know, Steph's ankle going to hold up? Because, you know, they can go and they can win some games, but it's like you can't sit there and go into the playoffs thinking you're going to make it without him, man, because he's too damn important to be like, yo, I'm taking that chance and doing this and doing that without him. You know, Steph Curry still. Let's not get it twisted no matter how you look at it and what you see. You know, just, you know, we just have to see, you know, with Klay being out now, what adjustments does Steve Kerr make? I mean, he's still holding up. They're still doing what they have to do. You know, they won, you know, that great victory last night against the Lakers, but it's just like, come on, guys. Like, let's just get together. You know, maybe he keeps it going. Maybe he takes his time to rest off. And if he rests up really well, he comes back ready to rock and roll. And we'll see how well, his hand holds up as far as the playoffs go. But, you know, we gotta see what's up right now. Keep an eye on this Western Conference race right now. I know, you know, Houston is kind of looking. They're kind of licking their chops like, yo, we got a chance. I don't see Golden State losing too much more. But, you know, those guys that I just mentioned that all injured are key components, you know, and important pieces to the puzzle. So, hopefully when Steph gets back, things will change up. That should be in a few days. Klay's out 2 weeks. I'm sure they can hold things down. If Kevin Durant has to average 40, then Kevin Durant will average 40 in the interim, and everybody else will kind of do their part. So, you know, Golden State, you know, they got to just stay on it. They got to stay on a game, on a game. You know, Houston, if I were you, man, I'd seize this opportunity right now because it's definitely something in which, you know, you're not going to see this happen again because once Steph comes back, they're going to probably roll. That's the weird thing about this team as well. Like, Steph will be out and he can come back and give you 40. You're just like, damn, what happened? Like, yo, this is the way they roll and the way they operate. So if I was Houston, I'd try to take advantage of it. But it's kind of hard to keep a good team down. Like Golden State, it seemed like they're just going to get after it and keep going and doing what they've been doing. So sit around and wait and see how this Western Conference ends up. You know, it's got a few more games left. Everybody's really coming down to the wire. There's about like 15, 16 games left for most teams, and we'll see how that works. Today's episode of the Jamon Bolton Show is sponsored by Troy Manson Signature Socks, with a slogan to stand out from the socks up. Come visit their website at www.tmsocks.com and check out all of the classic and sleek styles, as well as the Josh Malone and Joe Lockett Signature Series. You can also get ahead of everyone and get your socks now for the spring, as the 2018 spring collection is now available for order. They've been featured in the GQ British, as well as the Huffington Post, so you're not going to pass on getting myself a pair. Troy Manson Signature Socks, the official sock of the Jamon Bolton Show. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go move on to some quick NFL news. You know, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in the NFL, so I can't really cover every single thing. You know, I'm just going to try to touch on some key points, some things that have been happening that's kind of notable. Kirk Cousins signs with the Vikings. You know, he was either the Vikings or the Jets, or I think those are the two teams involved. I know Von Miller was kind of screaming for him to come to Denver, you know, but right now I think, you know, it's a good chance with the Vikings. They look pretty good adding him. Let's see how he holds up, because everything looks good on paper until it's actually time to execute it. You know, Richard Sherman was cut by the Seahawks. He's now with the 49ers, signing a 3-year deal. So that works out. You know, Joe Thomas retired after 11 years in Cleveland. Workhorse guy, kind of like the blue collar lunch pail kind of guy, you know, steel mill. He gives you like that steel mill worker kind of vibe. Like he goes in, he's blue collar, he does his part, and he does everything he's supposed to do. And that's that, you know. If you tie it, more than likely end up in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, I guess after a while you beat yourself up. You just kind of like, look, I don't have it in me anymore. And so he has nothing to hang his head down about. You know, he gave it all he can give. I mean, Cleveland just doesn't really have it. We know how that works. They might be turning the tide this offseason. We've seen they've been making some really big moves. They've been, you know, they got two big draft picks, so hopefully they make the right decisions and they get a good quarterback and maybe get Saquon Barkley as well, and they can kind of change the tide of the franchise. We'll say this, I don't bet on many things, but they'll definitely win a game this year. They don't, then they need to blow the franchise up. But Dominican Sue was cut from Miami. He's a free agent now. I know a lot of teams will be vying for his services. We'll have to see who's from who's who. Tyrann Mathieu, aka the Honey Badger, he's been cut from Arizona. Didn't want to take a pay cut, so they kind of like, they got to let him go. You know, obviously he's a pretty good player. He's all pro. You know, he's had a lot of knee injuries and so forth. So, but he's still young. He'll get picked up by somebody. Malcolm Butler, you know, was unceremoniously benched in the Super Bowl with the Patriots. Super Bowl hero a few years ago. Then got benched, and the stories are still conflicting as to what's out there. Just signed with the Titans. Signed a really good deal. So happy for him. You know, it's a good spot. Tennessee's still on the up and up, and I think he fits in well with those guys. Another interesting signing that I want to talk about it real quick is Teddy Bridgewater. We all know the terrible knee injury he went through, supposed to be the quarterback of the future in Minnesota. I'm praying and hoping, being a native New Yorker, he gets a fair shot with the Jets, because we already know how the Jets are. We know what the Jets can do. We just know how things are. So I'm just praying he gets in there, signed a one-year deal. Hopefully he can go in there and turn some heads in spring training, in summer camp, and he can get the job and then kind of get his career jumpstart again. Because, you know, Minnesota, they want such a role, they weren't going to really change anything over to accommodate him. But, you know, good luck to Teddy Bridgewater. Sam Bradford's got a new deal, one-year deal with Arizona. You know, Sam Bradford gets a lot of flack and everybody gets on him about things, but I think Sam Bradford's pretty good. He's pretty decent. He just can't hold up. You know, ever since he got his collarbone broke, he's been kind of injury prone every single year. NFL, you know, knees, the shoulder, you know, collarbones and things like that. It's just very weird with him. So it's just one of those things. Adrian Peterson got cut from Arizona. He still has a few years left. There's been rumors he's saying that he wants to go to Houston and play with Deshaun Watson. Adrian Peterson's one of those guys that's a physical freak. So although he's declining as a running back, he still may have a couple years left in him. Who knows? Have to wait and see how everything turns out. Jarvis Landry got traded from Miami to Cleveland. One of those moves I talked about a little bit earlier when I was discussing Joe Thomas. And we'll see how that works out. Because, I mean, once they get the right quarterback and they get the right pieces around them, look, they've been making a lot of moves. So a lot of people have been talking about them. Like, yo, the Browns are really doing some things. And, you know, that should work out well. And the last thing I want to talk about as far as the NFL goes is, come on, Odell Beckham. It was a few days late, but it's like, come on, dog. You know better than this. Like, I don't care what anybody does. If you can come out there and you work your tail off and, you know, you bust your butt and you're giving it your all, like, yo, listen, I respect it. It's hard to be a professional athlete. But my thing is this, man. The era of camera phones and everybody being a social media pundit and everybody doing everything, it's got to be easy, man. Just calm down. You know, stop doing stupid stuff. Like, you know, I don't know if anybody's aware, but he got caught in a hotel room with the model. She had something that looked like white residue. He had something that looks like a blunt. And it's just like, dog, like, to me, marijuana is not even that serious. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it. People get on people all the time because it's like, yo, bro, how could you risk your career for some weed? But it's also, to me, it's like, bro, be smart about it. Don't be stupid. Do the right thing. You know, don't get caught out there. If you're going to do something, man, just go behind closed doors. Now it's like you gotta put up this fight. You deserve to be paid as one of the best players in the league, and now they're going to try to put up a fight. They're going to try to say, well, you did this, that, and the third. And now it's kind of like you don't want to have anybody sitting there dictating things to you now. You demand your value. You know what I'm saying? You demand what you deserve. You deserve what you're going to ask for. You know, everybody knows what you bring to the table. You've been bringing it since day one. It's like, don't give people a reason to sit there and say, hey, we're not going to pay you. You risk your life every week when you go on the field. Don't give them a reason to sit there and say, hey, I'm going to pay you less. It's easy for us on the outside to say, yo, he's stupid, man. Take the 3 to 5 to 10 million that they're offering. No, people don't realize, you know, one hit, your life changes forever. I get where he's coming from. He deserves his money. But don't be stupid and sit there and sit out there and somebody's filming you. And you're like, come on, man. Like, I don't have a problem with what these guys do because, look, hey, if he got caught in video with a blunt, this ain't the first blunt he's ever smoked. Let's be realistic about it. You know, let him do his thing. Just mind your business. Do whatever it is you got to do. But, dog, just be smart about it, man. Everybody wants to be famous these days, man. Who doesn't want to be the person that puts the video out that goes viral and Odell Beckham's on there smoking a blunt? Be smart, my brother. You know, hopefully he learns his lesson from this, and this is the last we hear about this. We'll be right back. I want to switch gears completely right now. I want to, I'm not going to sit here and sound like I'm an expert on this topic, but I want to talk about my man Tiger Woods. As we know, last week he had a pretty good showing at the Valspar Championship. He finished second place, which is, it was one of those things where it was like Tiger would usually tease us, as far as leading up to the final round, and he'd kind of falter and slip through, and he'd be in the top, he'd be one of the top three, four people, and then he kind of just start going crazy, bogeying left and right, and it's just like, oh. But just last weekend, man, he looked really, really good, man. Expectations are like soaring really high for him. It's the first time, like, after this championship, he displayed his best form in 2 years. He looked really good. He finished 12 3 weeks ago at the Honda Classic. Then, like I said, on Sunday at the Valspar Championship, he missed a birdie putt on 18 that would have, forced a playoff. So, another putt here and there. Tiger Woods would have won his first championship in a little while. He would have caught up to Sam Snead. He's a few behind Sam Snead as being the overall PGA Tour victory winner. What's amazing about this whole thing is, Tiger Woods still is second on time, 14 majors. Hasn't won a major since 2007. That's like 11 years. At this point in time, we all thought, as far as history goes, Tiger Woods would probably be, this give or take. Anybody would probably tell you they figured he'd be at least 22, 23 Masters, He probably would have put that record way out of reach. And what he did is pretty damn amazing still, just to think about that. But, right now he looked really good last week. And again, I'm not a golf expert, but again, I can watch enough of it to know, he looks good, looked poised. He was holding his composure, doing everything he was supposed to do. Right now, this is the first time he's been favored in the PGA Tour event, since the Honda Classic in 2014. Right now he's playing at the Arnold Palmer Invitational in Bay Hill. And as we speak right now, he's actually in first. He's 400 through 16. He just kind of took the lead. He broke a four-way tie as I'm recording this. But, he's getting after it. He's still probably the best ever. And I get it. People are like, oh, he hasn't done much in years. But it's like, again, okay. He hasn't done much in years. But when he was at the top of his game, I don't think anybody who's known golf has ever seen anything quite like him. And for me, he's he's actually favorite right now. If I'm not mistaken, they said he was the favorite to win. He was the favorite to win a Masters or whatever, they had him out there like that. People are feeling good about him. It's like, oh, Tiger's back, So Vegas had him as the odds on favorite to win it. So it was just like, it's Tiger's back, I think, and he's getting that confidence back. And he's one of those guys where you say, damn, well, maybe he's going to do something special in his later years. It's kind of like, let's just backtrack the basketball a little bit. What LeBron's doing at 33, he still looks good. You still see him windmill at 33, 15 seasons in. You're like, well, damn, I know you can do it, but relative ease, he's one of those guys that gets older. You're going to say, wow, I think he's going to pull off a few more. I think he's going to pull a few more victories off as he gets a little bit older. I think he has a few more in him. I don't want to jump the gun, but if he can keep his composure and get out of his own head and just realize, look, everybody wants to see you do well. We know you're not going to be the Tiger that you once were. No Tiger slams are going to occur. We don't know, but, as of right now, he looks really, really good. And me being a guy, I always said, whenever I talk about him, it's just, he's the reason why, a kid like me from the inner city would even want to look at golf. Sunday you see NBC, you're like, man, I'm turning this crap. He's the reason why I stopped. He's the reason why I even look. He's the reason why I even, I'm curious about golf to this day. PGA Tour golf, somebody has it. Let me borrow the game just because you want to try to learn more about the game because of him. But, just wanted to bring that up. He seems to be in a good spirit, seems to be in a good mood. Again, like I said, he just grabbed the lead. He's broke the tie and grabbed the lead. 400 through 16 at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We'll see if he holds up. Right now he's playing some good golf, and hopefully he's doing what he has to do. So he just drained an insane putt, 71 feet away. So some of that Tiger magic is coming back. So let's all cross our fingers for our boy. Hopefully he ends up doing a little bit more, and we can get to see that old Tiger Woods excitement back. Well, that's it for today's show, people. That's all I really have right now. I'm about to go catch these NCAA tournament games, but I'll come back. I'll be here in a couple days to have more recap on everything. But I want to thank you for tuning in, just sitting there, showing love that you've been continuously showing. I want to send a shout out to my show sponsor, Troy Manson Signature Socks. Also want to send a shout out to my boy Cal Griffin and his team at allthingshoops.com. You can follow them on Twitter at allthingshoops and on Instagram at allthings_hoops. Just released an article on Shaheen Holloway, former CEO point guard, former All-American in high school. Dude was legendary. If you watch basketball, you know about him. Definitely go check it out. But my man's over there pushing the culture forward and doing everything that needs to be done. So go show him some love when you can. I'll be back talking about this tournament, kind of recapping who's doing what, who did what, how well did they do. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. So I'll be back in a couple of days. You know, again, if you have any opinions, good, bad, or indifferent, feel free to reach out to me. Hit me up. Let me know what's good. We'll take it from there. Your boy Jamon Bolton signing off for the Jamon Bolton Show. And I'll speak with you guys in a few days. Peace.